This morning, number 0960270, Cal Bay International versus Super Trail. And sorry about this. Mr. Navarro?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, thank you.
May I proceed, Your Honor?
Yes, sir.
May it please the Court, my name is Jeff Navarro. I'm the attorney for the appellant, Cal Bay International, Inc., and I'll refer to it as Cal Bay throughout my argument. And I appreciate the opportunity to appear before the Court today to try to explain the confusing facts in this case, if I can, and the issues. And the primary issues in this case are somewhat far-flung, and from our standpoint, are in summary as follows, that first, whether or not Florida law should control in terms of the...
Is there any material difference between Florida and Utah law?
Pardon me?
Is there any material difference between Florida and Utah law?
Your Honor, let me say this: there is, in my mind, there is, and I certainly don't profess to know Florida law as well as I might should. But we never got into those questions, Your Honor. The bankruptcy court simply determined that the Utah judgment in 2001. Constituted collaterally stopped us from going forward. So we didn't really develop that, and I'm not trying to be evasive, but I think there are some differences from what I know of it.
That's not your biggest point.
No, Your Honor, it's not.
Why don't you get to your biggest point?
I will.
I mean, because this is so... My law clerk helpfully provided this timeline, which takes up an entire page of small print. So we understand that it's complicated.
Yes, Your Honor.
So why don't you just get to the issues that you think control the case
I will,
for your
Your Honor.
Side?
And I think that the real issue in my mind, paring all the others down, is the collateral estoppel issue. I realize that the Super Trail and Dr. Atok have raised equitable mootness and statutory mootness. I don't think that those are big burners in this case. I think it's the collateral estoppel issue. And what the bankruptcy court did on its own, I might add, I mean, this was not an issue raised in the summary judgment, but the bankruptcy court determined that the issue had been litigated previously and found that collateral estoppel applied, and relied on a Fifth Circuit case, I believe it's a matter of Davis, a 1993 case. Our position, Your Honor, in a nutshell is this. We had a Utah judgment in 2001 that the bankruptcy court applied, and under Utah law, there must be four elements that are met. Let me back up a minute, I apologize. The Fifth Circuit has, in 1996,
this is federal court, so you're dealing with federal collateral estoppel, in my view. So your main argument is that the company that you bought from didn't represent you in the earlier part of the bankruptcy.
That's correct, Your Honor.
And not only that they had sold to you and you never got notice of it, right?
That's correct. In 1996, KMI, that was Crystal Management, Inc., sold to Ararat, LLC, the mortgage and judgment. At that point in time, KMI had previously conveyed to Dr. Atok the mortgage and judgment. At that point in time, however, KMI had rescinded that assignment by virtue of a notice of invalid assignment which had been filed in the state of Florida. And then it, KMI, obtained a default judgment against the purported president at the time of KMI, one Miss Deborah Dougherty. And it enrolled that judgment in the Florida land records as well. Then it conveyed to Ararat the, it, KMI, conveyed the mortgage and judgment to Ararat in 96. And Ararat never surfaced again as a party in any proceedings. And under the, I believe it's the Production Supply Company, Inc. versus Fry Steel, Inc. case, decided by the Fifth Circuit back in 1996, that case, as I read it, means that in order to apply a state court judgment for collateral estoppel purposes, that the court must look to whether or not the judgment that is proposed to be applied, would it constitute collateral estoppel under those state court rules? And in Utah, the cases that I've cited, the Utah judgment that we're dealing with in 2001 would not apply because there was no, Ararat was not a party to those proceedings. So I think that the bankruptcy court, with all due respect, misapplied the collateral estoppel of the Utah judgment. And I think that, Your Honor, is the biggest issue in this case.
Did you raise that in the district court? I know the bankruptcy court did this sua sponte, but did you raise it with the district court?
We did, Your Honor.
Where did you do that?
We filed a brief after we filed our notice of appeal, and we filed a brief, and as I recollect, Supertrail and Dr. Atok filed a motion to dismiss, and the district court granted the motion to dismiss the appeal, and essentially just said that the bankruptcy court was correct on the collateral estoppel issue. But we attempted to raise it, and we never got very far in those proceedings, Your Honor. In terms of the arguments of Dr. Atok and Supertrail regarding statutory and equitable mootness, this litigation is an adversary proceeding between Cowbay, my client, and Supertrail and Dr. Atok. We attempted to enjoin Supertrail from dispersing sale proceeds, which were earmarked for this mortgage that we've litigated over, and we were unable to enjoin the disbursement. Those monies essentially have been dispersed. So we attempted to dismiss Supertrail from this whole process because we frankly had no fight with Supertrail any longer because the money was gone, and focused solely on Dr. Atok. But Supertrail's been a tar baby, and we've not been able to get rid of it. And in terms of the equitable and statutory mootness questions,
well, that's nonsense because, you know, the whole point of sale free and clear of liens is that the parties fight over the proceeds. And equitable mootness has never been extended to a situation short of a Chapter 11 confirmed plan in this circuit. So, you know, but what does concern me about your position at the moment is the fact that the money's been dispersed. Because that raises a serious question in my mind where we are procedurally. It would have been one thing if the bankruptcy court had followed standard procedure and not dispersed the money until the title dispute was resolved. But having done that, if we were to agree with you and remand, we couldn't remand to the bankruptcy court because the money's gone. You want a money judgment from ATAC at this point, do you not?
Your Honor, I think that, I mean, that would be wonderful, but I think at this point we would simply like our day in court to litigate.
Yeah, but you're litigating to what end? You want money, don't you?
Certainly, Your Honor.
Or do you want the title? You can't get the title back.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
We would like the money. We certainly would.
And who's going to pay you the money?
Well, it would be incumbent if we had our day in court to pursue Dr. Atok to try to get that money. The money may be gone. I don't know.
How much did he get? How much did he net out of this?
Your Honor, the money is still being dispersed. There is some money left, and those are...
For fees?
Yes, Your Honor, and...
That gets in real nasty litigation.
No, we're not going to get into that, Your Honor. But there's a pending motion that the debtor has filed, or strike that, that Dr. Atok has filed with the court, the bankruptcy court I'm speaking of, to seek disbursement of like $1.8 million now. And that's pretty much it. I mean, there is some more money in the estate. I don't know how much of it's been earmarked for Dr. Atok, but Dr. Atok has gotten, I think, the lion's share of the money up to this point. And again, it would be incumbent upon us, if we were able to proceed, to try to find the money and litigate this question. And if so, if we were successful, then pursue the money. But I've been on worse hunts before, so that would be a welcome fight.
So is that motion on hold?
No, Your Honor, it's not, and we're not seeking to stop that motion.
Why not?
I say we're not. I mean, we've not filed any objection as yet.
Dr. Atok, judgment proof? I mean, come on.
No,
this is,
no, Your Honor.
See, I don't understand. The further afield you get from the money, the less likelihood you have of sustaining jurisdiction in the court below.
Well, Your Honor, it's been our perception that because of the bankruptcy court's ruling that we are essentially no longer a party in interest in the bankruptcy court.
Well, I don't think that's quite the case. A party in the interest is not somebody who's going to get something, because a lot of creditors never get anything. A party in interest is somebody who can make a claim in the bankruptcy court. So, I mean, I think you understand what I mean, but... And I'm not telling you how to litigate the case.
I'll certainly listen.
But what I'm, but no, what troubles me is if you say you're not pursuing Supertrail at this point, did your pleadings ever ask for a judgment from Dr. Atok? And if not, then if you have no claim against Supertrail or its chapter, you know, trustee anymore, then you've got no, you know, you may as well go file suit in Florida or wherever Dr. Atok is.
Well, Your Honor, what my anticipation is, in view of Your Honor's remarks, and I anticipated this already, was to file an objection. I think my deadline is the 10th of May, and I intended on doing that.
This is Judge Houston, right?
Yes, Your Honor. And see where that takes me. But I think the court's position, I believe, and I don't know this, certainly can't speak for the court, but I think the court's position has been that because of the court's grant of summary judgment, that we are, in effect, no longer a party in interest. That's been my perception from the court, and I may be in error. I hope that I am. But in any event, Your Honor, I think that the collateral estoppel question is the key, and I think, in summary, that the court should have looked to what the state of Utah would have permitted in terms of applicability of collateral estoppel to this case, and it simply wasn't done.
When was the, since you got a minute, when was the first time that your client knew about the bankruptcy of Supertrail when you bought this property, right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And you did not know, at best you would have had only constructive notice, or did you have any notice at all about the pending Utah problem?
After the fact, Your Honor. My client, Cal Bay, was assigned the mortgage in judgment from Ararat. And Ararat...
And when did you get that?
I became involved with them in it was either 04 or 05, Your Honor.
Well, everything would have happened by then.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, Your Honor. It would have already been over with.
I see. But when Ararat received this, when they received the assignment, it was less than 2 months. Well, it was on April 2 months after the default judgment had been entered.
That's correct, Your Honor. And that was entered in Florida land records.
Uh-huh. And you have any information, did Ararat know that there had been a motion to set aside the default?
Your Honor, I don't know. I don't know. And those facts were never developed. And so we're left in the dark about that. But anyway, Your Honor, I suppose I'm out of time.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Gino?
Good morning, Your Honors. Please the court. My name is Craig Gino, and I represent Supertrail Manufacturing in this case. I think it's important to...
Your brief says you represent Dr. Atak also?
We are joint appellees, and we filed a joint brief. Saying. Yes, ma'am.
But so you're representing them both here?
On the appeal, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
It's important to remember, Your Honors, the timeline of what happened here. The judgment and the mortgage that was assigned originally by KMI through its president, Deborah Doherty, to Dr. Atak occurred on August 12, 1994, recorded February 28, 1995. Several months later, in October of 1995, the same KMI that had assigned this mortgage to Dr. Atak filed something called Notice of Invalidity of Assignment of Mortgage in the Florida Land Records. What that means, I'm unsure, but it certainly wasn't a document signed by Dr. Atak or any of his representatives. In fact, it was not signed by the same KMI representative that assigned the original mortgage or signed the mortgage originally to Dr. Atak. Then...
So what I'm calling ATAC ought to be Atak?
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry.
Yes, ma'am. Dr. Atak, so the court will know, is a Turkish citizen. So getting money out of him in this case is going to be more problematic than if he were a Florida resident, just so the court would know where he resides. Then KMI, that was so sure that notice of the validity of the assignment of mortgage was good and negated the prior KMI assignment to Dr. Tosh, sues Ms. Doherty in Utah. That's KMI's choice to sue Ms. Doherty in Utah, Utah residents under Utah law, alleging Ms. Doherty did not have proper corporate authority to execute that original assignment. They were so sure that notice of invalidity of assignment was good, they filed suit to follow up on it. On April 4th, 1996, Ms. Doherty filed a motion to set aside the default judgment was recorded April 4th, 1996 in Florida. 8 days later, Ms. Doherty filed a motion in Utah to set that aside. A couple of months later, the recording appears in the record for the assignment of the mortgage from KMI. So while Ms. Doherty's motion to set aside that default judgment was pending in Utah, KMI assigns the mortgage yet again to another third party. If Ararat had looked at the records, had observed the records, and had seen the default judgment, because default judgments are not always final, that certainly one was not.
Now you're asking us to rule on the merits, though. I mean, I would agree with you that there appears to be a constructive notice issue, but that has never been litigated, it seems to me.
It has not, Your Honor, but the collateral estoppel issue of the Utah court ruling upon whether that default judgment was good or not
I understand that, but you're not bound simply because you know another proceeding is going on. You're only bound if you're a party or a privy.
Under Florida law, Your Honor, on page 13 of our brief, we cite cases that say not only is a title examiner or purchaser responsible for a review of what's in the record, whatever is in the record that would put one on reasonable inquiry notice to examine further, they're responsible for that as well.
Let me ask a real dumb preliminary question here. Ararat is in Turkey, right?
No, ma'am. Ararat is in Southern California, I believe.
Oh, it's an investment group in Southern California?
Yes, ma'am.
I was just thinking Mount Ararat is somewhere around Turkey, and I was afraid.
It is.
Okay.
Biblical connotation.
Separate parties.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. But again, you're arguing constructive notice, right? You're not arguing collateral estoppel here.
No, ma'am. One dovetails into the other. Constructive notice of a default judgment should have been followed up by Ararat, really should have been followed up by CalBay, too, if they had been prudent, because the judgment on the merits the Utah court rendered in 2001, or was recorded in 2001 in the land records in Florida, 4 years before CalBay took its assignment. So if it had been diligent, looked in the records, it would have seen lots of inquiries there. First, an assignment to Dr. Attash, which has never been set aside by Dr. Attash or a court suing against Dr. Attash. Then something called notice of invalidity of assignment. Not sure exactly what that means. Then the default judgment. And before the default judgment was final, pending motion to set it aside. Then in 2001, before CalBay gets its assignment, a judgment from a court in Utah not only setting aside the default judgment, blasting Swanky, the president of KMI, who brought all this upon us, and entering judgment against Swanky and KMI in the Deborah Daugherty litigation in Utah.
Well, what obliged CalBay to go into Utah? In other words, a party is not obliged to become a party to litigation in order to be bound by the result, is it?
I don't think so, Your Honor. I'm not sure about that. But Florida law does require, and the cases on page 13 of our brief make this clear, that if you see something in the record that would put a reasonable person on inquiry notice, then you're bound not only by what's in the record, but what you would find on a reasonable investigation, and a default judgment in the record, and then a judgment later setting that aside and ruling for the other party, certainly puts someone on at least inquiry notice, if not actual notice, that judgment's no good, and the original assignment is good.
Of course, during all this time, the property is in the possession, we're just talking about a mortgage, because the property's in the possession of
Supertrail
bankruptcy.
Yes, ma'am.
And Supertrail finally sells the property in January of 2003.
Yes, ma'am.
And CalBay does come in at that point.
It did not file an objection at that point to that sale, Your Honor.
Well, nor needed it have done so, because, you know, you're going to fight over the proceeds, theoretically, and it did object to that.
Well, not exactly. It did not object to, or its predecessor in interest did not object to what happened to the proceeds under the sale in 2003. That never appears in the record. A number of parties did, but those proceeds were to be Dr. Attash's property under Judge Houston's 2003 order, and his interest, along with the interest of other claimants, not CalBay, not Ararat, were to be litigated at another date. Then there have been many orders, Your Honors, litigating and adjudicating the rights of the parties in the bankruptcy court.
Who's this Mrs. Holloman?
She was a lender to Supertrail, who advanced money to Supertrail to keep the case going. She also took an assignment, not to complicate things further, but to complicate things further. She took an assignment from Dr. Attash of additional mortgages that are not before the court today,
right,
as collateral, and now she has been paid about $2.2 million after CalBay's been in the case. They objected to one of those disbursement motions, not the rest of them. They lost. Judge Houston overruled their objection. They did not appeal. Did not seek a stay pending appeal, just like they did in here. They didn't even appeal at all. So in 2003, Judge Houston adjudicates that the sale of the property for $13 million ought to occur to Lennar. Dr. Attash releases this mortgage that we are here on today. Lennar, good faith purchaser, relies on that order and takes title after Dr. Attash released his mortgage. What happens if we try? This is where the not only 363M, good faith purchaser, mootness, not only maybe equitable mootness, although I realize this court's not any...
You're totally wrong about that.
Well, Your Honor, there is an unpublished opinion in this circuit that applies the equitable mootness doctrine to a 9019 settlement and compromise. It's the Hillel case that came along before your equitable mootness...
That was in a plan.
That was your decision, Your Honor.
Yes, sir, and that was after a chapter...
It was. The unpublished decision, though, was after a 9019 compromise and settlement in the same case, where that panel said, makes no difference for equitable mootness whether it's a confirmation of plan issue or whether it's a 9019 settlement. The rules and the considerations are the same. And in this case, that's pretty easy to see because this property is substantially all the property of the estate. It's come and gone. The proceeds were free and clear from the sale to Lennar.
But, you know, that argument would, I mean, that, I just find that very difficult to believe, and I don't, it's unpublished, so we're not bound by it. But as far as 363M goes, we're not arguing over the real property, which is the property sold free and clear of liens. It wasn't the mortgage that was sold, it was the underlying realty. And so 363M clearly doesn't apply.
I respectfully disagree, Your Honor, for this reason. When Lennar bought this property, it bought the property in consideration of Dr. Attosh, not Calbay releasing his mortgage. If this was Calbay's mortgage and that determination is made now...
It was sold free and clear of the lien.
But if Dr. Attosh did not own the lien, and that's what Calbay says, he couldn't release the lien. Just like if KMI or ARIT...
The bankruptcy court thought at the time, but the point is, there's a title dispute. There are multiple claimants to the proceeds. 363M does not immunize the sale and everything that follows through. It immunizes the purchaser who receives, so that the purchaser can receive title and everybody else can fight over the proceeds, whoever they may be.
But Calbay can't fight over the proceeds, Your Honor, because they weren't named in Judge Houston's sale order as one of the parties in interest that could fight over the proceeds.
That's a problem, isn't it?
It's a distinct problem.
From the bankruptcy standpoint.
It's a distinct problem. It's the same problem, although it may not be titled a real estate, Your Honor, that we see, and this is why I think mootness should apply in this particular case, even though there's no plan. We're terribly, terribly close to already having the terms of a plan dictated, or maybe even a Chapter 7 conversion dictated, by all the things that have happened before. The order that the court entered allowing us to supplement the record that brings up this mootness issue not only disperses almost all this money, and there are a number of orders in the past that have dispersed money, only one of which Calbay has objected to, it was overruled and it didn't appeal.
You know, I sort of agree with, if you assume that this dispute is not equitably moot, then what we're down, I mean, all of this, these facts are very interesting, and what you assert are the equities of the situation are very interesting, but I sort of agree with him at this point that the real root of this is collateral estoppel, and who was bound by what happened in regard to the Utah judgment. I don't know the merits of the case, but it's collateral estoppel, and the bankruptcy court blew it away, and the district court said, don't bother me. So we don't have a ruling on that issue, and you could help me at least if you would explain how, under what theory, Calbay is bound by the Utah judgment.
Yes, ma'am. Calbay takes only such title as it got from its predecessors in interest. ARAT takes only such title as it took from KMI. KMI, under the Utah judge's order, had no authority to assign that mortgage to ARAT. ARAT didn't get anything. ARAT had nothing.
But with due respect, sir, that is the merits of the case. And I might be sympathetic that Calbay's argument on the merits as to constructive notice, as my best ancient recall of land titles goes, is weak. But that's not the point. The point is, did KMI, did a judgment against KMI in Utah bind CalBay in regard to findings?
Yes, ma'am.
And why? Because KMI is not an agent of CalBay. It is not privy to CalBay. It is two cellars removed from CalBay.
But it has to be. KMI clearly is in privity with ARAT because ARAT only takes such title as KMI had. ARAT is in privity with its successor, CalBay. It can only give CalBay such title as it had. So CalBay takes, subject to the judge's decision in Utah that said KMI should never have assigned, never entered that notice of validity, invalidity of mortgage assignment, and it should not have gotten a default judgment against Deborah Doherty. She was correct when she assigned the KMI mortgage to Dr. Atosh many years ago.
And what would be your best, and again, this may just be my failed memory in regard to real estate transactions, but what would be your case for saying that ARAT and CalBay are bound by a judgment regarding the title situation against KMI?
Because they are in privity, Your Honor, indirectly in the case of CalBay through ARAT, directly in the case of ARAT through KMI. CalBay can't sit in isolation and say, because of the way the record title already is, we were ignorant of all this. Because not only were the three instruments filed of record in the judgment of record in 1995 and 1996, the Utah judgment was of record in Florida in the judgment roll that affected title of this property in 2001, 4 years before CalBay took its assignment. And surely it was obligated to take title subject to the records then, and the records then showed clearly that the judge in Utah had entered an order adjudicating that the KMI assignment to the KMI notice of invalidity of assignment was invalid. That means that the assignment to Dr. Tosh was the only valid assignment of record. In addition, Your Honor,
suppose we disagree with you on this, then when we remand, do we remand to the bankruptcy court or the district court?
If the court seeks a factual finding and a litigation, I think you can bypass the district court, Your Honor, and remand to the bankruptcy court, or as multi-tiered as this may sound, remand to the district court with instructions to remand to the bankruptcy court.
Well, the reason I ask is that they're saying now that they don't really, that they intend to pursue Dr. Atosh and not necessarily to pursue Supertrail for the amount that's left over to pay administrative fees.
Well,
and I'm not sure that the bankruptcy court could enter a judgment against Dr. Atosh, but maybe I'm just...
I'm not sure it could either unless he consented to it, and I would assume, being a Turkish citizen, he would not consent to it. But I think all of that ignores, Your Honor, what's gone on in the past since the KMI issue came up and what the bankruptcy court has done since then. That's what makes this appeal moot. Not only has all the money flown out of the case, and the money that's left is earmarked for the IRS and for fees and expenses. Dr. Atosh wants it out. That's a dispute between him and the IRS that's coming up the 25th of May before Judge Houston. Not only has the money flown out of the case, there are multiple adjudications by Judge Houston that this is Dr. Atosh's mortgage. It's Dr. Atosh's cash collateral. And in the orders of Judge Houston, we submitted that we were allowed to...
Excuse me, sir. At what point did ARAT or CalBay, well, it would have been CalBay didn't get the judgment until 03, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. At what point did CalBay receive notice of the bankruptcy case? Or I guess it was on notice, right? It never received a formal notice.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. They started objecting to things in 06 or 07, and they certainly objected to the entry of Judge Houston's order on September 22nd. I'm sorry, they objected to the entry of Judge Houston's order in 2008. That is their supplement to the record. Then in 2009, when Judge Houston entered an order on that date, September 22nd, 2009, that adjudicated releases of multiple parties, let most of the money go elsewhere. CalBay never objected to that. They never filed a response to it. And that order specifically provides on page 3, paragraph C, Supertrail will be holding approximately $3.55 million of cash collateral belonging to Atosha's trustee. And if that finding of fact and conclusion of law, Your Honors, is not binding on CalBay now, because they clearly were in the bankruptcy court at that point, I don't know what would be binding on CalBay. My time is up. Thank you very much.
All right, sir. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Navarro.
Your Honor, again, not to beat a dead horse, but when Judge Houston sustained the motion for summary judgment, in our view, CalBay was out of the bankruptcy court. The court adjudicated that Dr. Atosha owned the mortgage in judgment by virtue of application of collateral estoppel, and we were on our way to the federal district court, and that was that. So we attempted to object to disbursement, and the court overruled our objection, and that's where we were left. Your Honor, a few points. One.
I'm sorry, I have a basic question.
Yes, Your Honor.
Was there a specific objection to that finding that was just detailed, that the money would go to the trustee of the doctor? At that point, were you in? You were out at that point.
We were out.
But did you do anything? Did you say we shouldn't be out and this concerns us? Please.
We were unable to make a supersedious bond, and there was nothing we could do. We had attempted to object, and the court overruled our objection, and we were out of the loop, literally, I suppose, Your Honor. The problems are simple, I think, and I don't make light of that. We have a Utah litigation. It may have been proper. I think that the Mr. Gino alluded to the KMI litigation in the state of Utah. I suppose it could be viewed as some sort of corporate litigation. KMI is or was a Utah corporation. And the complaint in that case had to do with the actions of the purported president, Deborah Daugherty. KMI brought the lawsuit in Utah. The court initially in Utah granted a default judgment against Daugherty and then set that default judgment aside. And then it went and proceeded further. And I think that's where things got bad, because the Utah court then set out to try to determine ownership of Florida property, and I think that was always the province of the courts in Florida under Florida law. So we ended up in 2001 with a Utah judgment concerning ownership of property in Florida, and then that judgment is adopted by the bankruptcy court in Mississippi, and we've been dealing with this Utah improper Utah judgment. Be that as it may, under the rules of collateral estoppel again, because CalBay's predecessor, Ararat, was not a party to those proceedings.
Is everyone in the chain of title required to be a party to a dispute over title?
No, Your Honor. I would think that the current owners would be the litigants, and for reasons that I don't know, Ararat was never included in that litigation in Utah. But I would think that those would be the litigation in Utah should have been, in a perfect world, between Ararat and Dr. Attash. But that didn't happen, and I don't know why. We never got into that. And maybe I think we should have. I think we should have dove that deep, but we didn't.
Is there money left that if it doesn't go to the IRS that goes to the doctor?
Your Honor, I don't even pretend to know. Possibly, but I don't know. I think that's a dispute, and there may be some money, but it may be controlled by some other.
Trustee has a bond, and if the trustee paid in when there was a bona fide dispute pending, I suppose there might be a problem with that.
Certainly. But all the defects that Dr. Attash and Zucreff complained about in terms of, for example, with the initial default judgment concerning Ms. Dougherty that was obtained by KMI, those same defects exist as to CalBay's predecessor entitled Ararat. It was never on notice of anything. And I'm out of time.
All right, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Yes, sir. Thank you.